Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' victorious name we pray. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. May the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from his sanctuary. In the name of Jesus. Everyone who has told you where is your God, God will answer them. By himself he will answer them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. May the Lord bless you. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. It's been a phenomenal time in his presence. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. This is Worship and Warfare, our April edition. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. I have a very brief assignment here tonight. For me, I've enjoyed my service. I have received. If you've not received anything until now, honestly, I don't know what to tell you. But as for me, I know that I've received maximally the time of worship, the time of prayer. My assignment is just to charge our hearts and then to make the altar call, speak over our lives, and we're done for tonight in Jesus' name. Now, you see, the mission of dealing with the subject of deliverance for an enlightened believer, I will emphasize that when it has to do with the believer in Christ, the concept of deliverance or warfare is about establishing the victory in your life, in experience that's been finished and received in Christ. This shift in perspective is very important. We approach the subject of deliverance and warfare based on the spiritual orientation that we have. And unfortunately, many believers do not approach the subject of demonology, deliverance, warfare, in a way that guarantees their victory. If you approach the subject of deliverance as a weak, defeated believer, hoping to engage to see if perhaps you will win, you are already defeated by that orientation. Hallelujah. It's important that I begin with this, that the mission of engaging the subject of deliverance, demonology, and warfare for the believer, it's about ensuring that you come into the experience of the victory that is already finished for you in Christ. This is important. I'm tempted to do a crash course for us for the sake of tonight's context on the subject of deliverance. What exactly is deliverance? When we talk about deliverance, sometimes it's a word. You know, one of the things I've learned in ministry is that language is one of the principal platforms for understanding. It is very costly to mention a word and assume that everyone has the same understanding of that word. When you say love, when you say God, when you say failure, when you say Satan, when you say victory, when you say results, these words, as unifying as they sound, they are very abstract and complex and sometimes are subject to personal interpretations. And your victory is derived from your understanding of the language that you use. So what exactly is deliverance? Let me attempt to very quickly just put perspective. When we talk about deliverance in the kingdom, we're talking about, it attempts to describe the entire process that leads to the experience of liberty, the experience of freedom, the experience of victory over Satan, over demonic forces, and over negative conditions. Take note of my descriptions. That deliverance has to do with the process that brings the believer into the experience or the reality of freedom, of total separation, and of victory from demonic spirits, from influences and conditions. Immediately you see by this definition that deliverance goes beyond being free from spirits. It extends to being free from negative, anti-destiny conditions. So when you walk in the experience of victory, liberty, separation from all these demonic things. It is said that you have been delivered so that you have the liberty to now walk in dominion as God intended. John chapter 8 and verse 36. John 8:36. Very quickly, media. John 8:36. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, it says you shall be free. If it is true that he's made you free, then you can walk in the reality of that liberty. Colossians 1 and verse 13. 1:13 Colossians. It says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. I'm just showing you a few scriptures that attest to the fact that God desires that believers walk in the experience of dominion and the experience of victory. It is impossible to walk in the experience of liberty, dominion, freedom, when you are not separated from the demonic influences and the conditions that try to spy upon your liberty. In Isaiah 54 and verse 17, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, let me use it as a prophetic word and speak it over someone who is ready to receive tonight, that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee, let it be condemned in the name of Jesus. One more time, I release it upon your destiny that in this season, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you as you have prayed, you condemn tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please, you may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 3:3. It says, 2 Timothy, did I get that right? Chapter 3 and verse 3. Give us NIV. There's a word I'm looking for. I hope we find it there. NIV, 2 Timothy 3:3. Else we jump to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Okay, let's go to 4 and verse 8. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. 2 Timothy 4:18. 4 and 18. Beautiful. It says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Say amen. Amen. And he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, the question tonight, there are two questions I want to answer quickly. Does deliverance concern the believer in Christ? The answer is yes. And listen very carefully. Does deliverance and warfare concern Christians? Let 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5 give us the answer. Does deliverance concern Christians, believers who are in Christ? 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 2, 5. Media. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3. And we're reading to 5. Give us 2 Corinthians. I'm not sure. Okay, beautiful. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Paul is speaking to believers in Corinth, and he's introducing the subject of warfare, that even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare, he calls it our warfare, they are not carnal, man-made, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting every imagination, verse 5, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always, I find that word always very interesting. I thought it was a one-off experience, but the Bible uses the language always. Always. For as many times as the battles will arise, it says, causes us always to triumph in Christ and to make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Can I give you two more scriptures? 1 Peter chapter 5, then we'll read 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant there means be alert, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, the Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say he's seeking unbelievers that he may devour. He's seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Ephesians 6. How about that? 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible begins from verse 10. It says, finally, brethren, put on the whole armor. It says, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. And in the power of his might. Then verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Now, hold on. I hope you know that this is Paul the apostle. The same Ephesians begins chapter 1 by introducing to us the extent of Christ's victory. Then in chapter 2, it now brings us into the equation. It says we have been raised up with him. And we have been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places above principalities and powers. By the time we get to chapter 6, Paul is now speaking and he says, listen, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, it talks about we wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. James chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about resisting the devil, that you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then he says, resist the devil. He's speaking to believers. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. I've taught you in this house that there are three principal gateways that allow for access to any demonic activity that finds expression in the life of a believer. There's only three doorways. Number one, ignorance. Number two, disobedience. Number three, covenants. Please do not forget this. That if at any point you see anything that looks like darkness, oppression in the life of a believer, that must have happened through three access points. Number one, ignorance. Your ignorance creates a doorway in the spirit for Satan to gain access to your life, even if you are in Christ already. Number two, disobedience. Having the readiness to judge all disobedience, the Bible says, if and when your obedience is complete. Number three, covenants. Covenants are powerful because they have a transgenerational implication. Is someone learning? Now listen to something I wrote here. I said the greatest expression of Satan's power over man is not in bringing tragedies, calamities, or sicknesses, but his influence on your spirit and the hijacking of your belief systems. That means Satan's real power is not in manipulating tragedies or calamities to come your way. The real power of Satan in the life of a man is not the troubles he creates. That's what I'm trying to say. But the ability to hijack the belief system of a man, to hijack your spirit and to hijack your belief system. Now, this is where Christians can become victims. That when Satan hijacks the belief system of a believer, he will cause you to think, he will cause you to behave, and he will cause you to make decisions in a way that creates partnership with demonic spirits towards your downfall, whether you know it or you do not know it. So when Satan really wants to attack a person, he doesn't just cause sicknesses, he doesn't just cause poverty or pain or oppression or curses and all of that. All of those things are effects. The real control room of Satan in the life of a believer is the mission of hijacking your belief system. Because when Satan hijacks your belief system, any negative effect can happen in your life. Because your belief system is your official partnership with the Holy Ghost towards your walking in victory. And it is your official partnership with demon spirits, knowingly or unknowingly, leading to your defeat. Someone say belief systems. You can be genuinely born again
and never taste of the experience of victory and dominion. You can be genuinely born again and read from your Bible that you've been called out of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, and yet you will see in your life visibly evident the effect of curses, the effects of yokes, patterns, and all sorts of things. I can tell you, in as much as you may not admit it, your official contribution to that tragedy remaining is your belief system. If you do not have a deliverance of belief system, then you were not truly delivered. Most times, believers focus on the effects, the tragedies, the sicknesses, and the power of God is able to attend to those things. But if you want to experience total deliverance, then in addition to casting away the spirit influences, prophesying those negative conditions to change, there needs to be a real warfare. And that's why you hear a lot of people tell you that the real warfare of a believer is not against spirits, it's against thought patterns. Thought patterns. Thought patterns. Thought patterns. It's often said that in Africa, we, in many regards, claim we have, you know, been independent for many years. But you see that in many African nations, that victim mentality that were there, that was there before, you know, whilst they were still, you know, captives and colonized, is still there. And even though, with all due respect, the colonial masters are not actively involved, that software, being that it is there, the conditions will not change. Now, most believers do not know that there is a labor dimension. There is a participatory dimension to manifesting your liberty. This is the context of warfare. That in as much as you desire your physical conditions to change, your psychological conditions to change, the real power of Satan at all manifests in the life of a believer. It's not just in his ability to cause sickness or disfavor or bad luck or extend the continuity of curses. Those things only look powerful because the belief system of the victim has not yet been fully delivered. Is someone learning now? And by one prophetic declaration, you can have a sign of relief. You can be sick and by the healing anointing you will be healed, but only for you to return back again, because there is a software, there is a belief system that is still in partnership with Satan. It is that belief system that consistently attracts him to come confidently into your life. The Bible says when a spirit leaves a man, it goes through dry regions looking for a place of refuge, and finding none, here's what the spirit will say: I will arise and go back to my house. It will find that house swept, clean, but empty. And the Bible says it will gather seven other spirits greater than itself and return back to that victim, so that the latter part of that victim becomes worse than the former. Who is understanding me so far? So the greatest expression of Satan's influence, I hate to use the word Satan's power, but just for context, that Satan's influence over a man, what makes him seem powerful in the life of men, cities, territories, is not the physical problems that he creates, the accidents, the tragedies, terrorism, but that he has found a way of hijacking the spirits and the belief systems of believers especially. So although we are in Christ, confessing that we are free, there is a belief system that is fighting that confession. Although we are in Christ, believing I should not be sick, there is a belief system. You see that now? So the real warfare is, number one, the warfare that binds the spirit influences. I've taught you what a stronghold is here. That a stronghold is a faulty belief system that has been fortified by the presence of demon spirits to keep the victim perpetually thinking that way and making decisions through the lens of that belief system. And let me tell you the truth. If you are in that state, Satan does not need to attack you. It is already a self-programming path to destruction. You understand what I'm saying? Failure is a belief system that has come into partnership with spirits. Curses are belief systems that came into partnership with spirits. Now, they are real. The balance of this is that most times, and this is why it's important to be wholesome in your teaching. By the time, and this happens a lot, especially among Pentecostal charismatics, sometimes we jump and we say there's no such thing as any failure or curse. Everything is over. You are right, provided your belief system agrees with the word. When your belief system agrees with the word, then you can boldly say, no enchantment and no divination will work against me. But if your belief system still belongs to the devil, let me tell you, even if you are born again, get ready for surprises. Herein lies the disappointment of many believers. When we are done confessing, when we are done jumping, when we are done shouting, when we are done all of this, it looks like Satan did not even respect your confession. The hijacking of belief systems is really Satan's mission. This is what he comes to steal. I've told you, when the Bible calls him a thief, you need to investigate what he steals. What does Satan need your money for? What does he need your health for? What does he need your marriage for? Those things are useless to him. They have no power in themselves. What Satan really comes to steal, he steals superior things in the spirit, like joy, like your passion, like your hunger for God, but ultimately your belief system. Is someone learning now? So there is a spirit of poverty, and it can come into partnership with a covenant and continue to perpetuate poverty from nation to nation, family to family. But you see, no matter how you bind and cast that spirit, it can genuinely go, but it will go laughing at you because it knows something will bring it back. There is an understanding. There is an orientation that does not need the presence of a spirit. It's a software in you. That is your official partnership towards your walking in the experience of victory or remaining defeated. The Bible never said that Jesus had the Holy Ghost alone. Before the Holy Ghost came, the Bible says he increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. He increased in favor long before the anointing came. Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind. It is not only his life you are supposed to receive. You are also supposed to receive his belief system. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Is someone learning? Your belief system is how you come into unconscious partnership with Satan, demons, yokes, negative patterns, to guarantee their continuity in your life, or it is how you officially come into partnership with the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Ghost to make manifest in your life here and now that which is finished in Christ. Listen, if you learn this, warfare for you becomes a springboard towards walking in victory. So that now you understand the value of tools like worship and prayer and giving and confession. You see that? It's your understanding that empowers these things. Otherwise, they will just become spiritual rituals that do not have power in themselves. Who is learning tonight? Now, there are three vital truths you must know. I promise you a charge. Three vital truths that you must know. If you want to walk in the experience of liberty and dominion, you want to experience total deliverance, there are three vital truths you must know. Ignore any one of these truths and it will be to your peril. Number one, you must know that Satan is an adversary and that he has an organized system through which he kills, he steals, and he destroys. Settle it for a fact that Satan is not a friend, Satan is not an ally, and Satan is not a myth. It's important you understand this. Sometimes preachers, in a bid to downplay Satan, and I understand what they mean to do, but sometimes we train believers into ignoring. The Bible never teaches us to ignore the reality of Satan or demons. It teaches us to manifest victory over them. It is not dominion to ignore the presence of Satan and demon spirits. They are real. Wickedness is real. Spirits are real. Curses are real. Yokes are real. Demonic orchestrations are real. There is an exact demonic organogram. It's the system Satan organized to carry out his ministry of stealing, of killing, and of destruction. And the Bible clearly tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says to not be ignorant of his devices. He's speaking to matured believers. He says, lest Satan should take an advantage. You are intelligent. You went to school. Look at that scripture. What does it mean to take an advantage? It means to find a loophole, to find a basis for manifesting his ministry. Not knowing his devices. Please keep it there. Is giving Satan an advantage over you. Not knowing his devices is giving Satan an advantage over you. And when Satan wants to keep a people bound, one of the ways is that he sells them an idea that without doing nothing, he's powerless in their lives. It's not true. Satan is not powerless. He is made powerless in your life. Did you hear what I said? Satan is not powerless by default, but he can be made powerless in your life. And that's your mission as a believer. To take advantage of the resources of victory that have been established and given to you in Christ. And to keep him where he belongs. Lest Satan should take an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So the first truth you must know in manifesting total victory is that you must know that Satan is an adversary and that he has an organized system through which he kills, he steals, and he destroys. Furthermore, you may want to know that if left unhindered, he will fulfill that ministry in your life. If left irresponsibly unhindered, either through pride or ignorance or sheer carelessness, he will manifest that ministry. The Bible, Jesus was the one who said himself, John 10:10, he said, but the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that ye may have life, and that you have that life more abundantly. He's called a thief. And that he comes into any life, any destiny, any family, any church, any nation, any territory, except but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that Satan and all demonic orchestrations, every demonic infrastructure, if left unhindered, I am telling you, they will carry out their ministry for sure. Number two, the second truth you must know, ready? Is that you must know and believe that Satan and all demonic forces have been defeated in Christ. This is very powerful. It's not enough to know that he's there. It's not enough to have an understanding that there is an organized system and that he's an arch enemy of God, believers, and the cross. You must know and then believe that Satan and all demonic forces, bar none, every single one, including Satan, that they have been defeated in Christ and that Jesus purchased that victory for us, not for himself. He didn't need to purchase the victory for himself. He always had it. He's always been God. But he stripped himself of that victory, brought us into him by covenant, and got the victory back again. Because he had it alone, but he didn't want it alone. So he relinquished the victory, came back and brought us in him by covenant, and got back the victory. Are we together? It's like someone who was always a professor. But because he was a professor alone, he stripped himself of that PhD and went back to nursery school and started again. And then when it was time for him to get PhD, he wrote a proposition that everything I get from now, let it be me and so-so-so-and-so person. And then he got back his PhD. The PhD he always had, but this time around, as soon as he was given PhD, every other person in connection with him suddenly saw PhD appearing on their paper. And they say, where did we get this? He said, that's why I stripped myself. I came back and I got it back again. I had it alone, but I didn't want it alone. So I now put you in the system. Is someone learning now? If all you know is that Satan is an adversary, if all you know is that demons exist, if all you know is that Satan hates you and wants to fight you, you will remain defeated. Knowing that information is truthful, but it's not enough to give you victory. You must know and then believe that Satan and all demonic forces have been defeated in Christ and that he purchased that victory for us. Colossians 2:15. Give it to us, please. 2:15. Then we go to Ephesians 1 from verse 19 to 23. Read with me, believers. Ready? 1, 2, go. And having spoiled principalities and powers. Read like you're reading about yourself. 1, 2, go. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Say hallelujah. He made a public show of them. A public show of failure. A public show of all kinds of spirits. And then Paul began to pray over the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1. His prayer began from verse 16. But for the sake of our context, we go to 19. Here's Paul's prayer. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. 20, he says, when he raised Christ, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now here you come in, verse 21. Shout it with me like you believe. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. 22, still reading. Let's go. Under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things for the sake of the church. 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. I believe Satan is there, but I believe he's there as a defeated foe. It's important you understand his status. Are we together? Satan can be defeated based on what Christ has done and yet be victorious in your life because of what you believe. It is your assignment to make sure his status in your life is consistent with what God said he is now in Christ. If the Bible says he's defeated, it is your assignment to agree with the word and engage profitably so that he remains defeated in your life. Let me tell you this. Satan can be a winner in your life while being a loser by the word. It is amazing how this thing happens. That although the Bible already calls him a defeated foe, he can look so victorious over your life because your mindset has rejected that report. He said, who has believed our report? He says, to that person, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. You must believe that Satan has been defeated, that every demon has been defeated, that every curse has been defeated. You must believe that in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter how long the reign of darkness has been in my family, my territory, by reason of the finished work of Christ, regardless what I feel, regardless what I see or do not see, this is the immutability of God's counsel. You must believe. Even if it's not yet manifested in your life, you must believe and then reckon yourself. I've taught you, comes from the Greek word logizomai. The word logizomai means to stand fast until it becomes a reality. Logizomai, reckon yourself, come into that consciousness, plant it in you. The word logizomai means indoctrinate yourself so that there's no other way of thinking. That you know that he's defeated. So every time you mention Satan, you are not mentioning Satan as though you are sitting on a negotiation table and saying, okay, Satan, bring your offer, and I bring my own offer. And finally he says, all right, I agree. That thing you see called negotiation, there is a name for it. It's a branch of occultism called doesic shamanism, where you sit with spirits. It's rather about occultic pacifism. It's not victory. Demons do it. This is what happens when you go to altars. This is what happens when you go to a native doctor. They invoke the spirit, and the spirit now tells them why it is disturbing the family and what must be done. So the spirit will say, bring a goat, bring a dove. Then they will now tell you, go and bring it. You pacify the spirit until it is angry again. Jesus did not pacify Satan. He defeated him. So don't try to pacify Satan. Don't practice pacifism unknowingly. Who is learning tonight? No, we're not teaching pacifism. Okay, Satan, just leave my family for a while. Can you give us 5 years till I'm done? No. Thanks be to God who always, always, no negotiation. It is finished. Someone shout hallelujah. Apostle, but my grandfather was an idol worshiper. I feel sorry for that history, but as far as I'm concerned, a new contract, I was brought into a new contract. Are we together? Apostle, but I currently have incisions in my body. The power of those incisions is your belief system. Your belief system, believing that those incisions, just because they are in your body, listen, I hope you know the nails on Jesus' hand is still there. Yet he's King of Kings. He didn't consider the nail as a weakness. When he looks at the nail, he does not say, oh, I gave in to Satan. The nails have become a system of victory. So why are your own scars reminding you that you are defeated? Let it remind you that you were once bound, but now you are in Christ. It is true. This is how to walk in victory. Otherwise, you will shout amen and demons will just laugh at you because your belief system is still calling them to your life. Please sit down. Second information you must know. Victory is in Christ and he won it for me. My goodness. Say so. The victorious, say so. The lifted in Christ, say so. Now let me tell you this, sit down. Satan is a master of the sense realm. And so what happens is that every time your faith is growing, he takes your eyes away from the word and puts your eyes on the condition. And when you look at it, you now see how stupid you are for believing God while there is an obvious condition there. But this is where faith comes. The Bible says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, it says it worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look, my goodness, do you not know that your eyes has a role in your destiny manifesting victory? While we look, not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, not unreal, unseen. There is a difference between unseen and unreal. There are microorganisms in the air, but your eyes cannot see them. It doesn't mean they are not there. There is victory around your life. That you cannot see does not mean it is not there. Unseen, not unreal. It says, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Demons are real. Satan is real. The agenda of Satan over every believer in Christ and ultimately God's program is real. It is foolish to ignore it. Ignoring it is not victory, it's ignorance. However, if you stop at that orientation, it makes you a demon-conscious believer and you become defeated. Satan does not need to attack you. A defeat-conscious, demon-conscious, spirit-conscious, and my goodness, I don't mean to speak negative, but allow me for a minute to press into this. There are believers that really, really need to receive these other dimensions of orientation. They see demons in everything. That Christian template does not spell a victorious God. Are we together? A wall gecko just passes in front of you. You are binding. You are jumping. It doesn't always mean, I know demons can use similitudes of these things, but it's not a victory orientation to live your life suspecting everything. Someone shakes you with the left hand. You say, I just see it. This is a sign. A sign of what? A sign of what? Did the Bible not teach you? It said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are pure, it said, think on these things. Someone gives you a hug and you say, from the time I had that hug, my back started paining me. Could it be that it's the hug that caused it? Now, don't get me wrong. Satan uses men. Satan uses systems. Hallelujah. Your husband serves you food or your wife serves you food. And all of a sudden you have, this spoon looks strange. Is this spoon? It's not a usual spoon in this house. Please eat with it. You see that? You see a handsome guy, you say, this guy must be sent from hell to destroy me. You see a pretty lady, you say, this must be the queen of the coast. If we don't manage some of these things, it makes foolishness out of the Christian faith. Are we together? You see someone prospering, I say, no. This has to be some demonic thing. Why do we always think that way? Now, the goal is not to laugh at people, but it's to say there is something wrong. This belief system is the one sponsoring the continuity of darkness in your life. Now, the balance, like I told you, is laughing hysterically and imagining that Satan cannot use those forces. That's another mistake you are making, because he does use them. I can tell you, this work of ministry is like medicine. I have held charms. I have seen what demons can do to people. I've seen people wake up and things happen to them. They had dreams. No, they didn't do anything about it and they died. So don't make a mistake of mocking the mysteries of the kingdom. But we are saying there is a balance, that the consciousness of the victory that is in Christ is a superior path to manifesting dominion. Are you getting me now? Hallelujah. Do you know whether an animal was killed to farm the yam you are eating? Because you did not guarantee, you don't know where it's coming from. They just bought it and brought it home. Do you know whether it was a traditionalist bowing to Satan that farmed the rice you are eating? When you get into a restaurant, do you know what happens at the back end? Just because the plate is clean does not mean the heart of the one who made it is clean. If you don't come into the experience of victory, you will suspect everybody, and you will be right sometimes. It's just that you'll be wrong most of the times. You go to a house where you should enjoy a meal, but you are suspecting. No. Not every cobweb is demonic. That's what spiders do. Don't make a mess of yourself. And listen, again, when we teach here, the goal is not a tell them mentality. You should know that by now. So it's not pointing hands at other people. No. I told you the zenith of transformation in the kingdom is not knowledge, it's love. The real proof you are changed is not just enlightenment, it's compassion. Are we together now? Now, the question is, what if it is true that the cobweb is demonic? What if it's true that the word gecko is actually a demon? What if it's true that that sound is not a rat in your house, it's actually a demon spirit? The question is, what do you now do about it? Because the demon has arrived. So what do you do? Believers, are we learning now? What do you do when you lie down and you have a dream? And in that dream, you saw yourself being buried. You can't deny the dream. It happened. Now, waking up and say, I didn't see anything. Now, you are being foolish. That's your problem there. But that you can say, no. Oh grave, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? Every time the consciousness of defeat comes, you remember the cross. You remember the cross. You remember Jesus. You remember it is finished. Now, as at the time you are believing, the condition would not yet have changed. That leads me to the third body of truth you need to know. Is someone learning? You need to understand and appreciate that Satan is an adversary. And that the dark world is real. And if unhindered, they are a determined system to thwart everything pro-God in your life. Everything pro-destiny. Everything that makes for joy and peace. You leave the devil unhindered, he will tear your children's destiny into pieces. Tear your ministry into pieces. However, if you stop at just believing Satan, you will be a failure-conscious believer. A demon-conscious believer, a Satan-conscious believer, an adversary-conscious believer, and you will inevitably become defeated. No matter the prayer, no matter the oil, no matter the communion, your software remains a perpetual invitation to darkness. So in addition to that, not neglecting that, you come into the consciousness of the victory that's been wrought in Christ and the one for whom he wrought that victory. His bride, his child. Is someone learning now? So when you sing songs like, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am. That's why you should not be afraid. Because there are times the things you are afraid of are very legitimate. But that there's another orientation that gives you faith and confidence. That I'm a child. He's Abba. He's Pata. He's my source. He's sustainer. He's defender. He's protector. He defends me with his jealousy. It says, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I told you, even terrorists have children. They kill others, not their children. As terrorists, with demon spirits at work in them, they still have compassion. How much more God? There are terrorists who go around killing, but they are responsible enough to bring food back home. He says, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts. How much more your heavenly Father would give good things to those who ask him. The third body of knowledge you must have to walk in victory, to walk in total deliverance, is that you must understand what we call the appropriation or the administrative system that was designed to make the victory that is in Christ manifest in your life. You must understand the appropriation systems. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this third point right there is the difference between believing that something is finished in Christ and seeing it as a reality in your life. Most believers have gone far enough to know that there is victory in Christ. They've read it in their Bibles. They've confessed it in church long enough, but they have not been taught the appropriation systems. The system that makes that which is finished in Christ a reality in your life. That it is finished in Christ does not mean it is manifested in your life. Healing is finished in Christ. But whether it will manifest in your life or not depends on your understanding, believing, and engaging the appropriation system connected to healing. Salvation is finished in Christ. How many of us believe that? But there are people today going to hell. Why? Because they have not understood, they have not believed, and they have not engaged the appropriation system that makes salvation theirs. The Bible says, for example, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you will believe with your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, you believe that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Is that true? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That is the appropriation system of salvation. Anybody whoever tells you he is saved and in Christ and did not follow this appropriation system is lying to himself and will go to hell. Full stop. My brother, how were you saved? I felt good after a service. Sir, that's the comfort of the spirit. That's not salvation. You need to be born again. And the way you get born again is subscribing to the pattern for which salvation was connected to. Are you learning now? Healing has an appropriation system. It is the hearing of faith and responding. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. When the word of God comes, you hear what Christ has done. Then you release your faith. Then the anointing, the dimension of the anointing that brings the quickening to your body is now released. Are we together? How about prospering in the kingdom? What is the key? There is an appropriation system. Victory is in Christ. There is the power to get wealth. But how do you receive it? You receive it by a change of mind. There is a belief system that must be worked on. You must understand the kingdom structure for your prosperity. When you do understand that, the power that backs that system is now released to schedule opportunities, to bring relationships. Are you seeing that now? You can confess all you can. I am not poor, and you'll be poor forever. And it does not make God a liar. It simply means the appropriation system that makes that dimension of victory. You have not learned, you do not know. Who understands me so far? Say amen. Amen. Influence in the kingdom is a reality. It's part of the package that came with the word, that came with the victory of Christ. But whether or not you get into that dimension, there is a hear ye him anointing. There is a grace that can come upon a man, and a generation will hear your voice. It's beyond being gifted. Gifted is part of it, but it doesn't stop there. The scribes and the Pharisees were gifted, but nobody listened to them. What was the difference between their being gifted and Jesus' being gifted? He says, "You are. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He said, "Hear ye him." You can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is a grace that is conferred by another. Ladies and gentlemen, every reality that you read in the Bible that makes for your dominion and your victory, it's a fact, is finished in Christ. Your assignment as a believer is not to try to fight the devil. Your assignment as a believer is not to try to fight curses, is not to try to fight failure. We use the word fight. The word fight there does not mean I contend, I blow, it blows me back. The word fight there is rather about establishing, making manifest that which is finished in Christ. Are we together now? The idea of that contention, I'm not trying with the devil to see if I'll be victorious. No, the victory was not even my effort. My effort is to take it from the warehouse and bring it to my house. Are we together? The name of that warehouse is called grace. Grace is the spiritual warehouse wherein all the riches in Christ are stored. Now, by faith, and faith there meaning engaging all the systems, the appropriation systems, I pick that blessing from that warehouse, the heavenly places in Christ, and then make it manifest. Are we together? There are two deliveries. There is the delivery from the manufacturer to the warehouse. Then there is the delivery from the warehouse to your life. God's responsibility is to do the delivery as the manufacturer to the warehouse, stored in the grace of God. Your assignment is to DHL it through your obedience from the warehouse called God's grace to your life where it is needed. You can leave it in the warehouse and die there. It is my responsibility to sign a check for you and give you a seed of 1 million naira. Will I go to the bank for you? Question, is your going to the bank a proof that you disbelieve me? No, it is even proof that you trust me. But how many of you know you can keep that check? Are we together now? All through your life and not pay your rent and be in trouble. And then you cry unto me and say, but what is the meaning of this? And I tell you, it is true. It's finished. The appropriation system. That is where many believers are missing it out. Now, let me tell you this. It is easier said than done. That's why it is called warfare. When I'm teaching it, it looks very seamless. But I'll be honest with you. That's why the Holy Ghost supplies grace. Because sometimes it does not happen immediately. Sometimes you will have to keep engaging by faith. It did not even happen immediately for Jesus. When he died, do you know why it took 3 days for him to resurrect? It was not weakness. Why was it not 2 minutes? I thought 2 minutes would show it would be a better sense of victory. That you just died and 2 minutes later you've come back to life. There were things he was doing in Hades. Now thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. Someone say, I'm victorious. Salvation is yours in Christ. Healing is yours in Christ. Blessings are yours in Christ. Whether they are manifest in your life or not does not negate the fact that this is what God has put in place. Now, you see, that act of obedience and appropriating the promises of God and the finished work of Christ, as we call it, are we together? That's what we really call faith. Faith is not just confessing. Faith is engaging all of the principles and the patterns connected to the manifestation of the realities of the finished work, so that they speak here and now. The Bible calls them faith. your confession being one of those expressions, your giving being one of those expressions, worship being one of those expressions, prayer being one of those expressions, listening to the word and allowing it transform your mind being one of those expressions. Are you seeing now? So all of these things we do, these spiritual activities, they are part of the appropriation systems. Prayer is an appropriation system. Is someone learning now? Yes. Mark 11:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, because they are already there. When you pray, using this appropriation system of prayer, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Are we together? So it is my responsibility, you see that now, to show you the various appropriation systems. And when you know them and engage them, then you find out that the finished work of Christ, the reality of dominion and victory, become manifest in your life here and now. Please look at me. If I teach you on relationship principles, it is a spiritual appropriation system that brings favor to your life. I can prophesy favor over you, but if you do not understand relationships, you may never have it manifest in your life. Someone asked me a very humorous question one time, and he said, Apostle, what exactly is the secret to wealth? And I told the person, well, it depends on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to a Christian, there is what I will tell you. If I'm talking to an unbeliever, there is something I will tell you. And the person said, I think it is hard work. I said, you are wrong. Work is not even there. It is called productivity. Work and productivity are two different things. Prostitution is work. Terrorism is work. But it is not productivity. You see that now? The key to wealth in the kingdom, if you are speaking to an unbeliever, is productivity. And the easiest way to be productive is to be formally educated. You see that now? And if you don't have the privilege of formal education, then learning a skill, all of that is leading to productivity. But for the believer, maybe I should just steal in 1 minute and give you three keys. Productivity, relationships, investments. Write it down. No matter what else you learn about finances, if you don't learn these three things, you will remain poor forever. Productivity, relationships, investments. You can add all others, but this is the skeletal system of wealth from an intellectual standpoint. Of course, I say this with the assumption that God is above all. That's why I said I'm speaking to believers. But productivity, relationships, investments, these are the skeletal system. Let's not be distracted. We're talking about, you know, I just decided to digress. Maybe that's a word for someone who has been saying, God, what is the way out of this thing? That's it right there. Productivity, relationships, investments. Sometimes favor can speak on you, and in a strange way, you can even jump number one, like the children of very wealthy people. Sometimes they don't need to be productive as such. They need to be productive to perpetuate the wealth. But sometimes their parents are so wealthy, productivity looks useless to them. It's just relationships and investments. You see it now. But for somebody who knows where you are coming from, waiting to jump into number two is a waste of time. You start from number one. One will introduce you to two. Two will introduce you to three. Koinonia is quiet. I want to assume you are angry with the devil. You are saying you have cheated me for too long. And after this service, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will not remain behind. I will not remain defeated. If that is you, shout amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Warfare is part of the appropriation systems. Through the mystery of worship, like we so powerfully enjoyed. What happens when we worship? I've taught you here endlessly. That in the atmosphere of worship, two things happen. Number one, encounters. Number two, interventions. Every time you're in an atmosphere of worship, the glory comes. And when the glory comes, it brings two major packages. Number one, encounters. The assignment of encounters is to make you become like Christ in experience. But the assignment of interventions is to step in over your life and bring you into the experience of dominion and liberty. Remember my teaching? That when the glory comes, it brings encounters, it brings interventions. Now, encounters supply the riches, what the Bible called the riches of His glory. What are they? Wisdom. favor, skill. Are we together? All of these spiritual resources, they come during encounters. And you can now trade with these resources into a life of envy and color and beauty. But interventions come so that they take away the constraints, the things that ail you, the things that keep you defeated, like sicknesses, like all kinds of oppression. So when we take the time to worship God, this is no ritual. We are creating the atmosphere for His manifested presence. When that glory shows up, you expect two things. Now, if you don't have this orientation, you can press for encounters and ignore interventions, yet the package came complete. Or you can press for interventions and leave encounters. You will live with healing, but you will not know God more. The wisdom that came, you don't receive. The favor that came, you don't receive. You see that now? The understanding that came, you don't receive. But now that you know, as you worship, you expect that as that glory rests upon me, that glory breaks itself into two departments. Encounters, bringing you the riches of His glory and helping you to know God more, imparting upon you wisdom and favor. I listed eight of them for you. They are called the riches of His glory. He says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, or the riches of His glory. Then interventions. That's the reason why in an atmosphere of worship and prayer like this, it's not unusual, backed up by the prophetic, to have all kinds of deliverances manifest in the life of people. Now watch this. If someone gets up from the wheelchair right now, let me ask you a question. Would it be that time that Jesus died for that person's healing? No. It's been finished. But that was the time where the appropriation system became complete over his situation. Did you get that now? If you prosper next week, would it be next week Jesus purchased that victory for you? That would be when your obedience became complete. Is someone learning now?
Yeah.
If you've been oppressed by the devil for 10 years, and by the 11th year you become victorious, you walk in victory. Did it mean that by the 11th year, that was when Jesus died for you? No. More than 2,000 years ago, something about your understanding and your appropriating that truth, it became spirit and life. And that's where the victory manifested. So when we talk about warfare and deliverance, please always think the overall processes that lead to appropriating the victory in your life that's been finished in Christ, so that it speaks here and now. The result of complete appropriation is victory, dominion in experience. Who is learning now? So the next time you see that there is a deficiency, there is a contrast between your experience and what the word says, a responsible, enlightened believer doesn't start crying to God and say, God, when? The language is not when. It is, God, open the eyes of my understanding so that I will know what is missing. You see that now? Because the Bible says God remains faithful. He remains faithful. So if it does not happen in your life, it is rather about not having an accurate knowledge of the appropriation system. Did you know the prophetic is also one of the appropriation systems? They are taken for a prey, and none saith restore. That means when I begin to speak over your life, if you like, say amen. If you like, don't say amen. That appropriation is now your responsibility. As for me and God, you see that now? I speak over your life and someone with the sincerity of your heart will shout amen. Now you have prayed, you have worshiped, you gave, you listened to the testimony, you received the prophetic word, you complete that equation, and the word of God becomes true in your life immediately. By next week, that person is returning here, jumping and dancing and singing and celebrating and say, look what God did in my life. From Monday to Sunday, it was good news every day. Am I describing you here? That from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, doors are suddenly opening. They did not just start opening in heaven. It's that your understanding and your engaging this appropriation system. Honestly, if you understand what I just taught you, you are ready to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. He's bringing everything in obedience to Christ, redirecting everything in obedience to Christ,
Restoring everything in obedience to Christ. Revitalizing everything in obedience to Christ. It's in obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ. My life in obedience to Christ.
In the name of Jesus, I speak over your life. The days of reading something else in the Bible and reading something else in the epistle of your life, may those days come to an end. That in the name of Jesus, as you understand how to appropriate that which is finished in Christ, using the mystery of worship, the mystery of prayer, giving, corporate fellowship, and more importantly, taking your belief system back from the hand of Satan. Listen, it's one of the greatest spiritual investments you can make. Second to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost is the journey of transformation. I have taught you here that transformation does not mean becoming Western. Becoming Western just means improving your understanding. That's not transformation. Transformation is measured by the degree of word compliancy of your belief system. Not just how Western you are. So you are just moving from analog failure to digital failure, but it's still failure. When we say to be transformed, it means you submit your belief system to the superiority of the Word of God. And let me tell you, that is a hard business because you are already emotionally connected to your belief system. Even if it's produced failure in your life, it's not easy to cut away from something you have held all your life. That's where you need the power of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says, casting down every imagination is the word yetzah. Thinking, thought patterns. This is the mindset that's coming in partnership with Satan, producing failure. There is a mindset producing dishonor, disrespect. Your being disrespectful is not just a character trait. It's the partnership between a poor belief system and the fortification of spirits. Maybe the spirit of anger. That's what makes you to beat your spouse. And you say, I don't want to do it. Pray for me. The spirit of anger can leave, but the belief system of anger is still in you. It will attract that spirit back again. Belief system are magnets. They are not like magnets. They are magnets. The magnetism in physics is a borrowed analogy. The real magnetism is in the spirit. You attract to your life people, situations, conditions consistent with your belief system. He's bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Look at me. I hope you know Jesus did not just die. He believed he could die and come back to life. He believed it. He did not just come and say, well, I would die. No, there was a possibility of him dying and remaining dead. Yes, sir. He did not just resurrect because he was a son of God. No, there was what he believed. He engaged the mysteries. He said he would die and come back again. If Jesus did not speak it, who will resurrect him back? Because no man had the power to bring Jesus is not Lazarus. The reason why Lazarus died and the reason why Jesus died were two different things. Lazarus was there waiting. All other departed saints were there waiting. Would the scribes or the apostles have the power to bring Jesus back to life? Because no man was worthy to open the book. So he spoke. He released a word by himself that I will die and come back to life. And once it was the time, that word swung into motion. Immediately. If Jesus kept quiet and just died, you would have been surprised. The grave would not have opened. By whose command? That means, if you don't understand the creative power of words, you see that now, the creative power of words, that in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going from glory to glory. Oh, Apostle, this is just gibberish. Keep mocking the word of God. You are mocking the appropriation system that makes for victory. You see that now? whether it is the confession of God's word, whether it is listening to teachings to transform your mind, whether it is giving, whether it's fellowship, whether it's worship, these are all the appropriation systems. The assignment of a teaching priest is to come with the mastery of a chef and show you how to combine which one with which to produce what spiritual outcome. That's my assignment. To show you what plus what equals healing. What plus what equals influence. What plus what equals longevity. And where the devil wants to distract you so that you don't listen to me, that's where the prophetic comes. It becomes a bridge of hope. One prophetic word clears out that debris of resistance so that you can now have the concentration. Listen to me. The prophetic does not replace obedience. It only provides the convenience so that you now have the time and the liberty and the concentration to learn and engage the word. Are you ready to pray? I will lead you for the next 2 minutes to pray. And please, I'd like you, now that you know that your prayer is your participatory process, prayer is part of the appropriation system, please make sure you pray. This one is an investment in your own destiny. Don't be careless. The spirit that brings pride and keeps you in silence is only deceiving you. Your silence is your partnership with darkness to keep you perpetually in the states that brought you here. Who is ready to pray? First, lift your voice and thank God for what you have heard. Blessed are your ears for these that you have heard. Blessed are your eyes for these that you have seen. Blessed is your destiny for this that you have experienced tonight. Someone outside, all the overflows, lift your hands high to the heavens and begin to thank God for this moment of encounter. Shaprakata peleke paranta saprakate. Kratata bakata prandeke perekete pa shaprakateas. I know that the adversary is real. Satan is real. Darkness is real. But I know that the victory that is in Christ is real. That Jesus died for me. He purchased redemption for me. He defeated sin, Satan, hell, and the grave. And all demonic arsenals, bar none. He defeated them on the cross and handed over the victory. And that in the name of Jesus, as I progressively learn the ways of God, as I progressively learn the appropriation systems of the kingdom and engage them by faith, I see in my life a manifestation of that which is finished in Christ. I see in my life, in experience, a manifestation of health, a manifestation of prosperity, blessings, advancement, restoration. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, Father. Shout it like you're serious. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that every faulty belief system at work in my life that is in partnership with Satan towards my destruction by the power of the Holy Ghost, I reclaim my belief system. Go ahead and pray. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off my belief system. I fight every negative information. I fight every antichrist information. Once it is inconsistent with the word of God, once it is inconsistent with victory and dominion, once it is inconsistent with progress and advancement, every belief system planting fear, every belief system sponsoring failure, every belief system sponsoring poverty, every belief system that is inconsistent with the word of God, I take authority over you. Come on, Koinonia, are you praying? Shaprakata belekata, the belief system that kept my grandfather defeated, my father defeated, the belief system that kept my family defeated. Are you praying? The belief system that kept my nation defeated, the belief system that kept my territory defeated, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, I contend for renewal. I contend for transformation. Let there be a divine editing by the labor of the word of every inferior belief system until I am changed, until I am transformed. Shababakata barantaka pragate grakata takatos. Make sure you are praying. In Jesus' name we pray. We are going to cry for one grace that not many believers are interested in. It's a grace for understanding. Understanding is a real miracle. The Bible says, then open ye their understanding. Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, I receive by mercy and by grace the impartation of an understanding heart. Say it again. Say, Father, I receive by mercy and by grace the impartation of understanding. Open your mouth and pray. Let me understand the ways of the Spirit. Let me understand the ways of dominion. Let me understand the ways of influence. To understand means to comprehend. To comprehend the working dynamics. Please pray. I receive illumination, understanding. Let me know how it works. Let me know how victory works. Let me know how influence works. Let me know how advancement works. Let me know how kingdom finances work. Let me know how dominion works. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. During last month's edition, we prayed this prayer. I want us to pray again. We are going to cry for restoration. That where my belief system has caused my delay, has caused my retrogression, has seemed to empower Satan and all kinds of tragic things in my life, now that I'm willing and ready to walk in partnership with the Holy Ghost, I will still not let the devil go free. Therefore, I command restoration. Someone say, Father. Shout it again. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare a restoration of joy, of time, of resources, of relationships, of graces. Now, open your mouth and pray. A restoration. Relationships I lost due to ignorance, may God restore. Opportunities I lost due to ignorance, may God restore. Allowances that were given to demonic spirits to plague and buffet my life due to ignorance or incomplete knowledge, I cry restore. Restoration of time wasted. Restoration of destiny wasted. Restoration of opportunity wasted. Make sure you pray. It's called worship and warfare. It's called worship and warfare. In Jesus' name we pray. One prayer before I let you just convey your personal request and petition before God. You are going to pray. Father, every loophole in my life, loophole of prayerlessness, loophole of carelessness spiritually, loophole of lack of discernment that has allowed for the allowance of failure, of destruction in any degree to find expression in my life, by mercy, I declare grace that that loophole be covered completely. Where it has been prayerlessness, you are praying now. Where it's been wordlessness, that your passion for the word has gone down and thereby is authorized darkness because of ignorance. Every loophole in my life, every loophole in obedience that's empowered Satan, empowered demon spirits to take advantage of my life, by mercy, may that loophole be covered. That means fresh fire upon my life. That loophole be covered. That means fresh passion upon my word study life. That loophole be covered, meaning greater and deeper consecration. Let that loophole be covered, meaning a passion for the house of God. Lift your voice and pray. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Sing like fire, like rain.
Like fire, like rain,
let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain.
Like fire, like rain,
let your glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, for the next 2 minutes, if you want to agree with someone by holding their hands, that's all right. But for the next 2 minutes, please, everything that represents, listen to this instruction, everything that represents mockery and shame in your life, please open your mouth and cry before your maker and say, Lord, take away this reproach from my life. And if there's nothing wrong with you, you can intercede for someone, for your husband, for your wife, for your ministry. I see some of you lifting documents. I see some of you lifting photos. Cry for the next 5 minutes. Father, you are the God of all grace. Shababakata brekata belekata. Lift your voice and pray. He that told you have asked for nothing, ask and you shall receive. Overflows. Make sure you are asking. Those following online, you are crying before the God of heaven. Let there be answers. Let the God that answers by fire. Let the God that answers by mercy. Let the God that gives speed. Let the God that restores. Let the God that lifts. My God. Let the God that opens doors. Let the way maker. Let the destiny redefiner. Let the restorer of time, restorer of opportunities, restorer of relationships, let the one who can anoint the head of a man and lift that man above systems, above antagonisms, above ill speakings. Pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, arise over my life. Lord, arise over my marriage. Who is praying? Lord, arise over my children. Arise over my ministry. Someone is praying. Lord, advance me. Let me go forward. Advance me. Let me make progress. Advance me. Let me run through troops. Let me leap over walls. I tell you, I sense fire here. Pray. Let doors be open. Let doors be open. I cry unto the God of my covenant. Let doors be open. Let destinies shift in the name of Jesus. Let graces rest. Rest on your ministry. Rest on your life.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you.
You're praying.
I will exalt you.
Ah.
You are my God. Because you're with me. Because you're with me. Because you're with me. I will not fear.
Don't stop praying. One more minute.
You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend. My safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one. Most holy.
Twenty more seconds.
Yabo, Yabo, Kaikade Kaisa Yabo, Yabo, Yabo.
For tonight, Yabo, in my life, Yabo.
Kai kanai kai sayabo, Yabo, Yabo.
Let me prophesy over your life. Close doors, open now. Close doors, open now. Financial doors, open now. Relational doors, open now. Doors of the next season, open now. Doors of ministry open now. Doors of breakthrough open now. Open now. Open now. Open now. Open now. Open now. In the name of Jesus, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Advance. Go forward. Advance. Make progress. I say it again. Go forward. Advance. In business. Advance. In ministry. Advance. Financially. Advance. Maritally. Advance. Spiritually. Advance. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare by prophecy, let the season of stagnation come to an end now. Let the season of reproach come to an apakata takatabata. Let it come to an end now. Let the season of hiding come to an end now. For someone, I speak over you. May the Lord bring you into the season of visibility. 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 Let light shine upon your face. Let light shine upon your destiny. Let light shine upon your ministry. In the name of Jesus. I call upon Ebenezer, that stone of help, the God that helps men, the God that lifts men. I pray for you. Be marvelously helped of God. Be marvelously helped of God. Let the grace that makes those who need you find you. Let the grace that makes those who need you to find you, let it rest upon you. In the name of Jesus. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. One of the greatest prayer that a man can pray in his life, desiring to rise to the next level, is a prayer for opportunity. David, I still believe, and I've told you, David was not the only one who could throw slings. It was the heritage of the Benjamites, but he was the one who Saul allowed. I pray for you. The opportunity that announces you in this season, from the depth of my spirit, I pray, may God schedule that opportunity. Shakata papakata. May God schedule that opportunity. May God line your destiny helpers and bring you before them. May God line your destiny helpers and bring you before them. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please hear me. Listen. I want to pray a very serious prayer for you now. And I want you to listen to it. When light begins to shine, light does two things. One, it reveals what was hidden, and it also provides direction alongside illumination. For some of you, when it was darkness, your face was there, but no one could see. But now that light wants to shine, there is a covering cast that has been put on your face, so that no one is able to see you, even though the light, it is your season, and yet those to see you cannot see you, because the covering cast makes it look like darkness. I pray for you by the spirit of grace. Every kapatana kapadakata, every covering cast that is stopping you from being seen, I tear off that veil now. I tear off that veil now. I tear off that veil now. Now hear me. You may have done well in Jerusalem, but the mission does not stop in Jerusalem. There is still Samaria. There is still Judea. There is still the uttermost part. No matter your level of success, I place grace upon you. Go to the next level. Enter the next season. Go to the next apakatos katiata. Go to the next level. of visibility, the next level of kingdom exploit, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hear me. John was already in heaven, chapter 1. From the Isle of Patmos, he was already caught up in heaven. And from chapter 1, he saw and wrote the letters to the seven churches. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And you would think that was all. Even though he was in heaven, the Bible says in Revelation 4 and verse 1, it says, after this I looked and I saw, behold, in heaven a door was open. And a voice from that door said, come up hither. In heaven, you have done well, but come up hither. You have prophesied well, but come up hither. You have sang well, but come up hither. You have ministered well, but come up hither. I call you to the next level of your kingdom influence. I stand on this apostolic and prophetic grace. Rise to a new level. Rise to a new anointing. Rise to a new level. Rise to a new anointing. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord. Breathe, Lord. Breathe upon my life. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. Give him thanks. Give him glory. Wave your hands as an offering, as an act of faith. Give him all the thanks. Worship and warfare. Begin to make declarations. I walk in my testimony. I walk in my testimony, the fullness of it. I walk in my testimony. I walk in my testimony. I will not hear of it from afar. I will not just wish it by seeing it in dreams. I walk in my testimony, the reality of it. My life becomes a capture, a revelation, a manifestation of all that's been finished in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Please stand if you are able to. Everybody stand if you are able to, except those under the anointing, those worshiping, just let them be. But if you are able to, please stand. Ladies and gentlemen, victory for the believer is only in Christ. Being educated is profitable, but it's no guarantee for victory. Being sincere is profitable, but it's no guarantee for victory. Coming from a great family of renown is profitable, but perhaps not enough to bring you victory. Tonight, in this atmosphere of worship, prayer, the prophetic, I want to give one person, one sincere person, maybe a gentleman, maybe a lady, maybe young, maybe old, maybe educated or otherwise, regardless your status in society, I introduce to you this one for whom we are gathered tonight, the basis of our confidence. It is to him all praises belong, the one who's been crucified, who died, the basis of our victory, Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Bible says, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to listen carefully. He said that whosoever, that blessing is for whosoever, believeth on him. There is a law already in the Spirit that such a one should not perish, but that he should have life everlasting. 3:17 of John says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You are in this place, and even though you enjoyed the atmosphere of worship and prayer, the Spirit of God leveraged on this atmosphere to convict you that you need Jesus. Or perhaps for someone, you need a restoration of your relationship. There's no better time to win that war than now. I want to give you an opportunity, and I want you to give me the honor of leading you. For some, back to the cross. For some, leading you to encounter the God of your salvation. Tonight's meeting will explain the hunger, the insatiable hunger that's been in your heart for weeks, perhaps months, perhaps years. I'm going to count 1 to 5. And very gallantly, as though being called to receive an award, I want you to leave your seat and come and stand before me here. For those of you who are around the overflows, the balcony, the overflows outside, if you are not able to make it in, please move to your LEDs. And for those who are connecting across the globe, from Europe to America to Asia to Africa, the 36 states in this Federation, Nigeria, wherever you are, as I begin to make that call, I want you to leave your seat boldly, without fear, boldly, without intimidation, boldly, not waiting for one to come before you follow. I begin my count now. You're coming to Jesus. 1. Koinonia, let's celebrate them. 2. Cry, but come. Even if you are discouraged, come. Even if you are weak and weary, come. 3. I count to 5. Make haste if you're coming. You're coming through the aisles. Let's keep encouraging them as they come. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. One more time. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come. If you're joining them, come. Koinonia, let's keep celebrating them. No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Let me speak to those who are following from across the globe. There's no distance in the spirit for someone who is watching, perhaps from your living room or your device, or maybe you are even watching as a rebroadcast. This is Worship and Warfare, April's edition. It's been a wonderful moment here. And these precious people who are before me have come prepared to declare the Lordship of Jesus over their lives. And I want to extend that call. I want to extend that opportunity to you who is watching, my brother, my sister, my mother, my son, my daughter, my colleague, whoever you are, whether you are Christian, non-Christian by birth, doesn't matter. I want to give you an opportunity to make it right with Jesus. And if you've been convicted of the Holy Ghost, you know for sure that Satan will not convict you to make it right with Jesus. That certainly is the nudging of the Spirit. I encourage you to respond to that nudging as you join these precious ones in front to pray that prayer. With your hands lifted above your head as a sign of surrender, would you say this after me? Say, Lord Jesus. Again, loud and clear, say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I've heard your word. I have seen your glory. I confess that I'm not able to help myself. But I declare that I truly love you. I declare that you are my Savior, that you are my Lord, you are my King. Right now, I receive you into my heart. I receive your life. I receive forgiveness. I receive your grace. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, the grace to live the victorious Christian life
is imparted upon my spirit. I declare that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I stretch my hands over these precious brothers and sisters. I thank you for the grace you have given them to step up here and declare your lordship over their lives. Your word declares that as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These ones have come, and we trust your integrity. And it's upon the basis of that I declare over you that your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. We call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to walk in victory, to live a life of dominion, knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, and serving him all the days of your life. That grace is imparted upon you. From tonight, you go forward ever and backward never. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you look to my right? That will be your left from where you are standing. There are counselors waving the placard. They will have a word with you, a quick prayer, and thereafter you'll be back to your seat. Koinonia, can we honor them as they go? Can we honor them as they go? Can we honor them as they go? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I've already spoken the blessing over you, so that will be it. Every other thing I did not speak, by faith, let it rest on your life. In the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So after we share the grace, the worship team will lead us in 10 minutes of worship. You're at liberty to just come put a seal prophetically, and thereafter, you're good to go. You can depart for your homes. The Lord bless you. Let it be a great week for you. Sunday to Sunday will be favor over your life. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Together, let's share the grace in fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Please hug someone and tell them you are victorious. God bless you.
You surround me with many victories. Jehovah Nissi, you are my banner. You go before me.